Happy Mother's Day to all the moms here. We're so grateful for you. And most moms are actually experts on the subject that I'm going to preach on today. And you're experts out of necessity, and that's persistent prayer. And I just want to say anything worth doing is worth persisting until it's accomplished, right? Not giving up. Like a child learning to walk, persists and persists. You know, he holds the coffee table and then he lets go and then he loses balance because of his ginormous head. And then he topples over and then he stands up and tries again until he's walking. There's persistence there. Why? Because walking is worth it. Progressing from the category of crawler to walker is going to serve you well for the rest of your life. Or when he gets a little older, pursuing that fantastic girl, like not giving up after the first awkward encounter. Persistence is worth it because she could be your wife, or paying off that debt week after week, month after month, because debt-free is worth it, but it takes persistence. And today, to walk with God, to have the wisdom of God at your disposal day after day, moment by moment, to make good and godly decisions, to please him, to walk in your purpose and calling, to overcome the sin that enslaves you, to be a man or woman of character. Those things are worth it. And so how do you get there? Well, one of the ways that you get there is to persist in prayer. You regularly position yourself to talk to and hear from God. So I'd love you to open your Bibles or devices today to Colossians 4:2. It's a very simple text, and you can circle or underline it or whatever you want to do, but Colossians 4:2 says this. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So what is Paul calling us to here? Well, he's calling us to persist in prayer. Devote yourselves to it, he says. And Paul seems to know that starting things is easy, but persisting is hard. It needs devotion. And yet persisting is what really matters. Perseverance is what brings the results. And there is no area of life where the Bible encourages persistence more than in the area of prayer. It's as if God knew that we as fallen people are prone to get discouraged or to get bored or distracted or to just give up, just to stop praying. And so constantly he says, whatever else you do, just don't stop praying because the payoff is huge. And so today we're continuing our series, The School of Prayer, and we've provided for you a prayer guide. And I think it's one of the most helpful tools we've ever produced here. And we want you to have it. We want you to use it. And for some of you, you're going to use it as a starting place in your journey of prayer. For others, it'll be a jump start in your prayer life. For the rest, it'll support what you're already doing. But I would encourage you to do this with your prayer guide, to bring it every week and to use it every day. Bring it every week, use it every day. Have it with you at church and use it to guide your daily time with God. You can pick up a copy at one of our sites or download the PDF. And Pastor Sarah's also doing a series of daily podcasts all this month. And so I would encourage you to access that as we endeavor to move our faith from a weekly experience to a daily expression. Now, speaking of daily habits, because that's really what prayer is, by the way. Prayer is a habit. And remember, a habit isn't just there for the habit itself. It gets us to a bigger goal. And the goal of prayer is not to get good at prayer. The goal of prayer is to meet regularly with God and to talk to him and to listen to him and to receive guidance from him and to be encouraged by him and corrected by him. That's the goal. But the habit of prayer puts us in a posture to do all those things. And so I just finished listening to a great book called Atomic Habits. It's not a Christian book. It doesn't quote the Bible verses throughout or anything like that. But it's a great study in how small, regular habits can have a massive impact on the outcome of our lives. The author, James Clear, draws a distinction between goals and systems. That we often focus on goals. Goals like, you know, I want to lose weight, or I want to start a business, or I want to spend more time with my family. In our case today, the goal may be, I want to be closer to God, or I want to make better decisions using my faith in Christ as a guide. But he says, instead of focusing on those big goals, we should focus more on the systems that we put in place to get there, the daily habits that are going to get us to those goals. And few things, he says, will have a more powerful impact on the outcome of your life than your daily habits. And so in the same way, few things will have a more powerful impact on your spiritual life than a consistent habit of prayer. So when we look at the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words for us in Colossians 4:2, it's obvious that Paul had a regular habit of prayer. As you read through his letters, you'll notice that prayer characterized Paul's life. It was Paul who told us to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5. But then he modeled it too. Listen to his own words. He says in Romans 1, God is my witness that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayer. 1 Corinthians 1, 4, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. And he goes on and on and on. Paul is a bit of an expert on persistent prayer. And so we should probably listen to him. And I think Paul would agree with today's big idea that persistent prayer gets God's attention. That's the payoff. Like, we can't ignore the fact that constant communication with God through prayer is the lifeblood of the Christian faith. But many Christians don't even know where to start. In fact, many people only know how to pray in times of desperation. Soldiers during war, you know, pray in their foxholes that God would spare their life. People pray when they're going through divorce or when their children are wayward or in danger, or when they get a bad report from the doctor about the lab results. And listen, it's not bad to pray during a crisis. The problem is that by itself, desperation praying is not sufficient to sustain the spiritual life. The key is persistent prayer. That is, coming to God over and over again and not giving up on our relationship with Him. Because remember, persistent prayer gets God's attention. But often we struggle to pray. And whenever a guy like me stands up at a podium and talks about the topic of prayer, it becomes a source of guilt and frustration for many people. Some of you can relate to this. And listen, I'm a pastor and I can relate to this. I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy communicating with God in the scriptures, but I haven't yet learned to love to pray. And so this month is going to be a good time for all of us, including me, to put our hands in the middle and to join the original disciples who, when they came to Jesus in Luke 11, they came with a simple request. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I hope that that would be our heart's cry all this month. Well, let's start with a simple definition. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be eloquent. No fancy words required, just a conversation. And in our main text today, in Colossians 4, 2, Paul adds a few little details about the ingredients of persistent prayer. So let's look at these. There are three ingredients to persistent prayer. Remember, he said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So the first ingredient's this. It's devotion. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote just means dedication. And so the command is, be dedicated to praying. Devote yourselves to it. Continue earnestly in it. Don't give up on it. You may remember Jesus told a parable of the persistent widow. You can read more about it over in Luke 18. And I love that the moral of the story is given right up front. It says, then Jesus told a parable to show the disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and don't give up. Be persistent. Somebody should probably write that one down and stick it on your mirror that you look at when you brush your teeth in the morning. But why? Why is it so important that we persist in prayer? Well, it's because prayer changes what's possible. This is staggering. But Paul really believed this. That's why he asked the church to be devoted to prayer. He really believed that doors would be opened through prayer that otherwise would remain closed. He really believed that because of prayer, a timid sharer of faith could become bold. That because of prayer, a vague presentation of Christ could be made clear. The impossible can become possible through prayer. And so be devoted, he says. Be persistent. Don't give up. But we are tempted to give up on prayer, aren't we? There are times we're not sure if anything's happening. We're not sure if God is really listening, but he is listening and he does answer. And his answer is one of three things. He answers either yes or no or not yet. But even if God's answer is no to our prayer, or if it's not yet, something powerful happens when we persist in prayer. Our heart becomes aligned with his heart. Our will becomes aligned with his will. Our desires are aligned with his desires. And we recognize in the end that we may not be getting what we're praying for, but we are getting something that we never dreamed possible, a relationship with God, communication and dialogue with the creator of all things. You see, your greatest need is not the answer to your prayers. Your greatest need is God himself. And so we come to God again and again, and we don't give up. And some of you may say, well, I've tried it and prayer just doesn't work for me. And I would say back that if you view prayer as just about getting the results you want, you have a wrong view of prayer. Because prayer is communicating with God, even if nothing visibly is accomplished. And I understand that prayer is hard, and I understand that we're lazy. And we use a lot of excuses to justify why we don't devote ourselves to prayer. Busyness or exhaustion or the personality or sleepiness or forgetfulness. But these are usually just cover-ups for pride. And pride says, I can get through today on my own. I can get through life on my own. I don't need God. You see, the truth is we think too much of ourselves and we think too little of God. And so Paul says, be devoted to prayer. Now, we're doing something this month a little different with these messages. We're dedicating about half of each sermon to explaining the scriptures and then half to practicing. This is a school of prayer after all. And so we're going to go back to school on this. And I have three practices that I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to divide them up so that there's one after each of my points. And so let's get really practical right now and talk about how to be devoted in prayer. So here's practice number one. It's simply this. Find a time and a place to pray. One of the keys, you see, to being persistent in prayer is having a regular time and a regular place. Don't leave it to chance. Don't leave it to when you're going to get around to it. Get it on your schedule. James Clear talks about a study that was done to test the importance of a time and a place as it relates to exercising physically on a regular basis. So researchers divided subjects up into three groups. There was a control group, and they were simply asked to just track how often they exercise under normal circumstances. Then there was a motivation group who was asked to read material on the benefits of exercise and then track their number of workouts. Then there was a third group that was supplied with the same motivational material, but was also asked to take one more step, to write down a plan that followed this simple pattern that said, during the next week, I will partake in at least 20 minutes of vigorous exercise on blank day at blank time in blank place. Now, in the first group and the second group, about 35% of people exercised at least once a week. But in that third group, the ones who wrote down a time and a place, 91% of the people exercised at least once a week, which was more than double the normal rate of the other two groups. Now, the sentence that they filled out became for them what is called an implementation intention, a plan that was made beforehand about when and where they would act. See, the two most important factors for sustaining a habit are time and location. So people who make a specific plan for when and where they will perform that new habit are much more likely to follow through. And so one of the best ways to devote yourselves to prayer is to predetermine a time and a place where you'll do it. And one of the values of a series like this with a book that we have and a podcast to help guide us is that it provides the opportunity to form a new habit of prayer. And I'd encourage you just to start with a small block of time to begin with, even just 1 or 2 minutes of prayer each day. Some of you are feeling really guilty right now, and you're just with me talking about this, and you're going to try to start with way too long of a time. You're like, I'm waking up tomorrow at 5 a.m. and I'm praying for an hour. And by day three, when it doesn't happen, you're going to give up and feel twice as guilty as you do now. Start small. Because pretty soon, your habit of prayer won't be something that fluctuates with how you feel or how dire the situation is. You're just syncing up with God every day. And yes, you'll be tempted to quit. Yes, you'll get discouraged. You'll get bored. But when that happens, don't play games with it. Don't say, well, I'll skip today and I'll do twice as long tomorrow, and you'll end up on the weekend cramming 70 minutes of prayer to try to make up with it for your crappy week. Just keep going day to day. Don't make stuff up. Just try to do it in the same place at the same time. And we've talked a lot about the importance of finding your chair, having a place where you pray, a place that becomes kind of a holy place between you and God. Just like a married couple or a pair of good friends have their favorite restaurant or their favorite table at a coffee shop where they meet. It's important to have a time and a place where you and God can regularly connect. And then the question becomes, well, what do you do when you get to your chair? Well, there's a simple method that I've taught for years because it's been the one method that's been most helpful for me in my walk with God. It's by far the method that I use the most personally to help me to pray. It's a simple acrostic of ACTS, A-C-T-S. It stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Supplication just means making requests. So if you're the journaling type, for example, you can just write down those four letters down the side of your page and then write out your prayers. Adoration is just praising God for all that He is. We shouldn't approach God immediately making our request. Our prayer should begin with adoration and praise, like Brian taught us last week. The C stands for confession, admitting how broken and sinful we are. In adoration, we're remembering who God is. In confession, we're remembering who we are, how weak we are, how much we need God for everything. Then T is for thanksgiving, thanking Him for our blessings, for our salvation, our families, our friends, our possessions, even our struggles and suffering. And finally, supplication, making our own requests known to Him. This is where you pray for yourself, for others in your life, for leaders, for circumstances you're facing, for our country, for our city. It's just bringing your requests to God. Now, we'll practice this more at the end of my message today, but I would encourage you to take a step right now. If you have a phone or your calendar or whatever, however you keep your schedule, take it out and put an appointment on there for tomorrow, just tomorrow. Then during your prayer time tomorrow, you can decide on a recurring time and place that you'll use this month to pray. Be devoted by finding a time and place for prayer. Let's go back to our text in Colossians 4 now. Remember, Paul said, be devoted in prayer. And then the second ingredient to persistent prayer is watchfulness. He said, being watchful and thankful. What does it mean to be watchful? Well, being watchful, it simply means a constant spiritual alertness. Like our prayer life should be always alert, never careless, never mechanical, never dull or heavy. He says, stay alert, stay spiritually alert, and always ready to pray. A good word picture would be to think of like a night watchman. A night watchman must be even more diligent than a daytime guard, because during the day, a guard can spot danger from a distance, but in the night, everything's dark. And so a night watchman has to use, you know, her spidey senses to detect danger. She has to be hyper-vigilant. So this word watch is the same word Jesus used with his disciples when he called them to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, keep watch with me for 1 hour. So Jesus charged his disciples to be alert, to stay awake, and to watch and pray. He didn't want them to watch for those that were coming to arrest him. That's not what he was asking. He knew exactly when that mob was arriving. Instead, he wanted them to pray for his endurance and for theirs, to fight unbelief, to fight their own demons. Remember, he told them that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak and easily gives into temptation. So when we fail to stay watchful in our praying, the enemy can lull us to sleep. When you face a challenge or an important decision, if you're not being watchful, before you know it, your eyes are off of Christ and onto your own solutions. And soon, like the disciples, when pressure ramps up, you will abandon Jesus entirely. You'll go your own way because we're easily distracted. The flesh is weak. And so when we take our eyes from Jesus, our values begin to shift, our attention wanders, and soon we're living like the world and we're bearing little fruit for God's kingdom. And so we must watch and pray. Persistent prayer centers us back on the will of God, and persistence helps us to stay spiritually alert. Again, let's go back to the practical, okay? Ready? Here's practice number two. I'd encourage you to find a prayer object that will help you to stay watchful. That is, identify an ordinary object that you carry with you throughout the day, something that you'd look at often, that would remind you to pray persistently, to keep watch, like to have an ongoing conversation with God. So maybe it's the background on your phone, or setting yourself some regular reminder alerts on here. Or maybe you could attach something to your purse or your backpack or your briefcase, or you could add something to your keychain, just some object that when you see it, it reminds you to pray. Moses had an object like this. In Exodus 17:9, Moses said to Joshua, he said, I'll stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And as he held that staff in his hand, remember, and he prayed, the Israelites were successful in battle. It was the same staff that he extended which parted the Red Sea. What's the deal with that staff? Well, if you remember the burning bush when God called Moses, and God wanted to reveal his power to Moses. What was it that God used to change into the form of a serpent? It was Moses' staff. He threw it down on the ground. That staff, when he held it, would always remind him of God's power. If you had an everyday object like your car keys or your watch or your mobile phone that God had changed into a snake, don't you think that when you looked at that thing, you'd remember the power of God? So every time Moses looked at that staff, held that staff, he was reminded of who it was that he was praying to. He was reminded of God's power, and it kept his prayers focused on God. So what if you found a prayer object that would help you to be persistent in prayer throughout the day. All right, so Paul says, be devoted, be watchful. Here's the third ingredient, it's thankfulness. Paul says, one of the ways to stay persistent in your prayer is to be thankful when you pray. Keep your gratefulness at the forefront of your praying. In Philippians 4:6, Paul later says, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, look what he says, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving, present your requests. And so when you're tempted to be anxious, be thankful instead. And it's really odd how he says this, because we usually think that you make your requests to God, and if you get what you asked for, then you thank him. Paul says, no. You thank him as you're making your request, even before you make your request. You thank him not when you get what you want. Instead, you thank him for whatever he's going to do, because you can be sure that he will hear your prayer as he promised, and he will wisely and lovingly answer in the way that's best. And because you know that that's true, you can be thankful as you're praying. You see, this thankful spirit is a sure sign of your faith. You can be truly thankful when you pray, because God's perspective is bigger and more well-informed than your perspective. He knows better than you do what you need. And so you can be thankful when he's giving you what you ask for, and also when he's not, because he understands your true needs. Yes, that's right. You should be thankful even when God says no, because when he says no, you can be sure that it's for your own good. Those of you who have kids, have you ever said no to them for their own good? Like if you said yes, it would be highly irresponsible. Like they come to you and say, hey, mom, can I eat this 1 pound chocolate bunny before bed? Can I wear my underwear on the outside today? Can I cut my own hair? Can I jump off the roof? Can I swim in shark infested waters? No. And our kids remind us that sometimes it's possible to want things that aren't the best for us in the long run, amen? And so if God were to grant you everything that you ask for in prayer, it would be the most unloving thing he could do, even if it seems like a great idea to you, because he sees things that you don't see. So be thankful as you ask, because he knows best. But what about those things that we know are good, like the salvation of a relative or the elimination of some sin in our life that seems to hold us back from God? How could God not want those things to happen? Well, just remember Paul's thorn in the flesh. He said that he prayed persistently for it to be removed. It was a no-brainer for God. It would allow Paul to serve God more effectively and efficiently. God would clearly be the winner if he would remove this thing that plagued Paul. But God didn't remove it. Why? Well, God gave his answer in 14 words. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Which means God still has a plan even in the pain. And that's true for you and me too. And so we can be persistent and still be thankful in our praying, because you see, persistence draws us into the true center of prayer, which is not a something, it's a someone. Persistence depends and deepens our relationship with God, and for that we can be thankful. Now, let's get super practical one more time with practice number 3. It's praying what we've called a 3-3-3 prayer. A few years ago, we introduced a spiritual practice called 3-3-3. That is, we pray for 3 friends for 3 minutes at 3 o'clock every day. So I'd ask you, do you know 3 people who are close to you but far from God? Think through family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers, associates, classmates, workout partners. Just think through your circle of influence. If you need help, look through your friends list on social media or your contact list on your phone. And are there people who would benefit from the love and care and grace and guidance of God in their lives? So think of those 3 names. Write them down. You may even want to jot them down right now. And once you think of those 3 names, the next simple step is to take out your phone and to set yourself a daily reminder at 3 o'clock to stop and pray for those 3 people for 3 minutes. And if you're looking for something to pray, I would pray the rest of Paul's prayer in Colossians. We looked at the part that said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He goes on and says this, pray for us too, that God will open a door for our message. And for those 3 people, pray that God would open a door for you to share your faith. Like you might be the only Jesus that that person ever sees. 333. It will help us to be persistent in our praying. Well, as I conclude, I want to address the why question. Why? Why should you persist in prayer? And the main reason is because your prayers matter to God. This is one of the great mysteries of the faith. But it's why we should persist in prayer, because the prayers of the saints, they matter. The God of the Bible does not present himself as some distant, removed, stoic God who's gonna do what he's gonna do no matter what people say. He was moved by Abraham's prayers for Sodom. He was deterred by Moses' prayers for the Israelites. The prayerful repentance of the Ninevites changed God's course of action against their nation. Our prayers matter. Remember our big idea. It says that persistent prayer gets God's attention. Well, it does. And I don't understand this fully. I don't understand fully why God takes our prayers so seriously, but the Bible is very clear. God invites us to partner with him in bold praying. Revelation 8:1 contains a story at the end of history. It's the seven scrolls that are being read before God in heaven. And the scrolls contain the story of human sin and violence and God's judgment on history. And then a remarkable thing happens. It says, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And all of heaven is on the edge of their seats. And then another angel with a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given a great quantity of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, listen, with the prayers of the saints, rose before God from the hand of the angel. The book of Revelation is filled with a lot of confusing language and imagery, but this much we can take away from this passage. Usually we think of events on earth being interrupted because of actions that have been taken in heaven. But here in this scene, it's the other way around. All of heaven comes to a standstill. The endless songs and the praises of the heavenly hosts that have been chronicled in earlier chapters, they're all stopped. All the exuberant conversations, all the celebrations, they all screech to a halt. Why? So that the prayers of the saints, prayers like yours and mine, every one of them can rise before God, and he considers them and he responds to them. Every one of your prayers are heard by God. They matter to God. They interrupt heaven. And what happens on earth is affected because people prayed. What happens in us is affected because we've prayed. The New Testament theologian Walter Wink says this. He says, human history belongs to the intercessors. It belongs to those who believe and pray the future into being. History does not belong to who we think it belongs to. It doesn't belong to the powerful. It doesn't belong to the wealthy or the rulers or the armies or the corporations or the global media empires. History belongs to those who intercede before God. Back in the year 2000, I was quite certain that I was going to leave Grace Church. The church was fragmenting. We were having a leadership crisis. Hundreds of people had left the church already, and there were plenty more to follow. People had lost trust in our leaders. They'd lost faith in the church. I had already flown to Denver for a job interview and was on my way to moving on. I got a piece of advice from some friends in the church, and they said, Derek, before you do this, pray. Pray fervently. Pray passionately. Pray persistently. And so I spent over a week fasting and praying, crying out to God. I devoted myself to prayer. It was the most important agenda item of every day, prayer. Every chance I got, morning, noon, and night, I begged God to give me wisdom and insight into what to do. And for a while, I got no answer. I would write out my prayers and then wait with a pen in hand to write down any impressions I got back from God. I was left with a blank page. On day 9 or 10 of this persistent praying, God broke through. And he gave me three simple words that I remember to this day. He said, you're not done. And on the strength of those three words, I decided to take the harder road and stay at Grace. Work it out. Take the arrows. Overcome our differences. It would have been far easier to leave. And in the process, God began turning my heart around. And simultaneously, he began turning our church around too. And I trembled to think at how different my life would be if I had not persisted in prayer during that time. In fact, I can look back at all the major turning points in my life. And even though I'm not great at it, God has spoken to me and changed my perspective as I've persisted in prayer. And so let me remind you today that God wants to comfort you. He wants to guide you. He wants to convict you and grow you and form you and shape you. He wants to speak to you and encourage you. He's a relational God, and he desires relationship with you and me, but we must desire it too. We must persist in prayer. I can't imagine the potential represented here. Like, what would happen if the thousands of you who are watching this right now would devote yourself to persist in prayer during these next few weeks? Like, if you do, I guarantee it's going to be a powerful time of personal and church-wide breakthroughs, because persistent prayer gets God's attention. If I were to narrow this one into one next step, it would be to circle back to what I said earlier. Schedule your time and place to pray. Utilize the School of Prayer book that we've provided, the daily podcast with Pastor Sarah. You have all the tools you need. Persist in prayer. Now, I want us to try out one of these practices together. We're going to do this all month at the end of the message. So our message is over, but we're going to take now a few minutes to practice. In whatever room you're in, I'm going to walk you through a simple way to use the ACTS acrostic. I'm going to guide you through as you pray silently to yourself: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So wherever you're watching from, here's what I'd ask you to do. Would you just assume a posture of prayer as I guide us through? You may want to get on your knees. You may just want to open your hands in front of you. You may want to bow your head or lift your eyes to the sky. Whatever posture will position you to pray. But I want to just begin with adoration. And here's what I'd like you to do silently. Think of one character quality of God that you've appreciated lately. And just tell him about it. Adore him for it. Remind him of how good he is. Do that right now. Now, confession. I just want you to think about the last 24 hours. In the last 24 hours, can you call to mind one example of when you sinned, when you dishonored God, when you abandoned the faith in your words or deeds or attitudes? Would you just confess that right now to God? Take a moment. About two blessings in your life that you're so grateful for right now. Would you just thank God for those two things? What has he blessed you with? Supplication. So either for yourself or for someone else, what is one request that you have of God this week? Present your request to him. God, we thank you right now for hearing our prayers, but more than just hearing them, we thank you that you are a God who actively responds to our praying. We thank you that persistent prayer gets your attention, and I pray for every person within the sound of my voice right now that we would persist in prayer so that you might be lifted up in our lives. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.